You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Haters Press Conference Podcast. This is the first place, some say only, where you can hear football's leading managers' press conferences in full.
Go, Ange.
Good morning.
Firstly, the Premier League clubs have voted in favour of semi-automated offside technology for next season. Are you in favour of that decision?
Yeah, I don't know a lot about it, but if it means they make decisions quicker and it's clearer, all for it.
Newcastle tomorrow is a big game, St James's. We've seen another club, Everton, with more points deductions this week, and PSR's been on the agenda. Is it difficult in terms of a club who have got a lot of wealth in terms of ownership, but obviously PSR is going to be looked at and potentially changed? Where do you stand on it exactly? Because in terms of unlimited wealth, but we need some kind of ruling, don't we?
We're going down this rabbit hole again, are we? We did this last week. Again, it's, you know, smarter heads than me in this space are locked in rooms making these decisions. I said last week, I think there's always got to be some sort of regulation around a safety net for clubs to make sure they don't overspend for their own good and also a competitive balance within that. But I've always felt not at the expense of, you know, the quality that we're trying to produce in the best league in the world. So again, I think from my perspective, I'll leave that to the guys who probably know better.
At the end of the game last week at Forest, I noticed you were quick to try and look for Pierre-Emile Højbjerg. He made quite an impression off the bench on Sunday. How impressed were you with him? And he's obviously talked about potentially his future in January, but just more on that. You sort of looked to seek him out. Did he do exactly what you were looking for at half-time?
Yeah, no, he was him and Roddy was good. I try and get to all the players after the game. Some of them get off quicker than others, so I've got to chase them down the tunnel. But, I think I said after the game, I thought Pierre and Rodri coming on at half-time really helped us last week. It was a game that kind of needed something a little bit different than what we had. I thought Biss and Pape did well enough in the first half and worked really hard. But, you know, I thought for where the game was at and the way sort of Forest was setting up, having Pierre and Rodri in there with their experience and, you know, Pierre particularly with his passing range, I thought we could really sort of use it to sort of start and start working and particularly switching the flanks and it worked well. And look, Pierre's been good. You know, he hasn't started as many games probably as he'd like. But whenever we've needed him, he's done a good job for us. And I think from our perspective, we're in a good place at the moment where we have a squad that I can make these changes, you know, within games or between games.
Not tomorrow.
Thank you.
Seb.
Hi, Ange. It's always difficult to travel to Newcastle, 12:30 on a Saturday. And we saw the game last season where Spurs were, I think, 5-0 down after 21 minutes. Are you expecting a tough challenge once again tomorrow? And have you watched that game back, maybe?
No, I haven't. And reason to for me. And yeah, it'll be a tough game. I mean, I don't think the 12:30 kickoff. I mean, we're leaving today, so I don't think there's anything around that. So we'll have good preparation for it. And it's a tough game. It's, you know, they're obviously you know, they're going through a tough time themselves in terms of injuries, like most clubs this year. But probably they've been, you know, hurt probably for a more prolonged period. But you know, when I watch them, and particularly at home, they're still a very, very good side. I think the crowd gives them a lot of energy, irrespective of who they put out there. And the games, irrespective of who they play against, tend to be fairly high tempo because of the energy in the stadium. So we're going to have to match that energy tomorrow. I mean, it's the way we like to play our football as well. So hopefully, you know, by bringing our own energy to it, we can, you know, we can sort of overcome the challenge. It's going to be a tough one.
James Maddison said it in an interview this week that you're trying to make them look at the bigger picture, more the long term. Can you tell us a bit more about how you see that bigger picture?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what he was referencing about, but yeah, you know, for me, it's just, as I've always said, it's about continual growth. It's about not sort of being, you know, settling for kind of where we're at the moment. You know, we've had a decent season. We've had improvements in a lot of areas, but we know we've still got a long way to go. And, you know, it's about constantly reinforcing the players that, you know, and the staff that, you know, we should really still be focusing on growth and how we can be better rather than sort of where we are at the moment. And, you know, never lose sight of the fact that ultimately our ambition is to bring success to the football club, and, you know, we're not in that space yet.
You've got a tough run of games coming up, probably the toughest for any team in the Premier League. How excited are you as a manager going into those games?
I think they're all tough. I'd be very surprised if anyone has an easy game. We certainly didn't think it was easy against Forest, who are fighting for their lives, or Luton, or you know, West Ham. I think every game, I think Saturday, and we've got, you know, seven tough games to go, but I think every team's got tough games, because I think just about every club's got something to play for. And you know, I don't think it's about ladder positions right now. It's about knowing that you're going into a game on the weekend with against an opponent who'll be you know, determined to gain something for themselves, and we've got to be ready for that.
Thank you.
Jack, please.
And last season, Newcastle finished 11 points ahead of Tottenham. This season, you're currently 13 points ahead of Newcastle. Does that underline your point about how Champions League qualification isn't necessarily the be-all and end-all for a football club?
I mean, I guess I gave that as an example of, yeah, one of the reasons why I don't think it should be your kind of, you know, end point or some avenue that you think will get you to kind of be successful and sustained for a sustained period, just because you have achieved that. And and certainly there's a, you know, there's a cautionary tale there that, you know, getting into Champions League also means greater demands on players, demands on the squad, and you have to be geared up for it, or else it can affect all parts of your season. So you know, and I think it's been tough on Newcastle this year, because I think they're probably, you know, their progress last year was fantastic. The reward for that was Champions League football, but, you know, this year, for whatever reason, you know, it's made a really challenging season on all fronts for them, with the amount of sort of attrition they've had through the squad.
Have you learned anything from how Newcastle have gone about it this year?
No, because I don't think that's the way you learn. I think you learn from your own sort of journey and understanding of every club's unique, every sort of approach is different. You've got to already have sort of a set idea in your own mind and about how you need to set up and what you need for your own growth. You're obviously aware of what other, you know, clubs and other managers or people go through, but ultimately, yeah, I think from my perspective anyway, what I've experienced in my career is that everything's a little bit unique, and you never really know all the details about somebody else's kind of trajectory. And yeah, sometimes, you know, there are some false lessons that lie in there that seem quite obvious, but when you peel it back, actually, you know, not really a good reference point for yourself.
Okay, pass to Ali, please.
Hi, Andrew. Just check team news. Is Richarlison still out?
Yeah, he'll miss this week. He's close, but with the weekend off next week, we just feel, you know, obviously, last sort of two rounds are pretty stacked with games for us, and having him ready for that, I think, is more important. So, but he's progressing well.
Got stuck down a bit of a rabbit hole myself yesterday. I was going into the how your squad will look this summer in terms of loan players coming back, homegrown requirements, foreign players, things like that. And I think you're going to have about 35 upwards of players in your first team squad. Is that something you have to tackle with the recruitment team before you can even start thinking about who comes in?
That's an ongoing process. I think it was similar last year when I took over. It's just part of the process of planning. I think the difference from last year is that we're well into that sort of planning, whereas last year we kind of had to do it on the run a little bit because obviously I came in post the season, and we had a big squad then, and we had a lot of decisions to make about players who were coming back from loan, players who needed to go out on loan, players we needed to bring in and move out. So I think this year we're sort of a lot more sort of calm in our approach because we've been working on it for quite a while, Johan and the people in the football department.
One thing I noticed within it, there's a lack of kind of club-trained senior players in your squad at the moment. And if you get European football, not saying that's a target, but if you get European football, Oliver Skip would be one of those few club-trained players. I think it's only like three or four. Obviously, he needs regular football, hasn't played much, hasn't been getting in squads. Does that make it kind of difficult for him to, if he did want to maybe move on loan, or it means you have to keep him next season regardless?
No, again, we're quite comfortable in that situation as well. Every player's, decisions about individual players will all be made in the context of what's good for the club and what's good for the player, and hopefully there's some sort of alignment there. Sometimes there isn't, but from our perspective, again, we're comfortable that with the squad we have, that we'll make decisions that are going to be sort of beneficial for us in terms of our growth. And but a lot of those individual player decisions won't happen till post-season.
Okay, we'll finish the section with George at the back, please.
Hi, Ange. I just wanted to go back to the previous Newcastle game, and you'd obviously had a really good start to the season, but that was the time when you had the suspensions and injuries. I think you'd lost 4 out of 5 going into that, even though performances had been good. How significant did that 4-1 win feel at the time, or even now?
I think it was important in the context of, like I said, the results. Obviously, you don't want to go through too long a spell where you're not picking up, wins, because obviously that affects kind of the course of your season. As you said, I thought our performances prior to that were still pretty strong. We obviously weren't getting over the line for one reason or another, but I thought on that day we played really well. We were really aggressive. Our front third play was probably the area that we kind of got most joy out of on the day, and it was a pleasing result, especially at home, because we dropped a couple of games at home we probably shouldn't have, because our performances were good enough, but we just lacked a bit of cutting edge in the front third and made some mistakes defensively. So I guess from the results point of view, it was important, but from a performance or some sort of extra significance, no more than any other game.
And you got the 2-week break after this match. Is there any kind of plans to arrange a behind closed door friendly, or do you kind of feel like it will just be a normal 2 weeks of training?
We'll probably just keep it in house. We'll train right through. We kind of feel that we get sort of better output when we kind of use the group and push the group as a whole. So at this stage the plan is to train through and sort of get ready for the running.
And just finally, away from the men's team, the women's team have got a really big game on Sunday. You watched them, didn't you, back in December? I mean, how helpful are you and everyone at the club that they can get over the line and make the final, FA Cup final?
I think Rob and the girls have been outstanding this year. Again, you have to remember, they had a disappointing year last year. Rob's come in and he's changed a lot of things and in terms of their football. But I can see that they're building some real belief. And it's a semi-final of a cup, and it's great that it's at the stadium. I'm sure the girls will get plenty of support. And, they've had a great deal of belief to get to this point. You need that for a cup run. And hopefully that... that comes out again on the weekend and they get to a final, which would be great for them, but great for our club.
If you like what you hear, please remember to subscribe or follow and leave us a positive review. It really will help us get to more grounds around the footballing world. You can also follow Haters TV on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, and our wonderful website at haters.com. Thanks for listening.